as long as I don't die, I'm not going to quit. It's just I'm going to go harder and try to build something. I'm going to build this boat for us with you guys, with everybody, so we can fucking try to be what we want to be. And that's fucking glassblowers, dude. I want to make fucking pipes. Shit's cool as hell. Never going to grow up, dude. I feel like fucking a lost boy. Feel weird after this episode after all this hash. All right, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 152 of the podcast. I'm back. Just went to Philly, Baltimore, New York City on a little trip to actually go do some podcasts and hang out with some of my absolute favorite comedians. I'm gonna talk about that today. Got some pieces on the table here. Got this new dry pipe we're gonna be offering full color versions of here this upcoming Sunday sale. Got a little 5mm here because I just got hooked up with a new nail that's awesome on it, and then my daily 10mm mini double diffuse. Got some hash hounds on the table, so it's gonna be a pretty good episode. Lots of fun stuff to talk about, go over my trip, and show you guys some glass. So sit down, hang out, and get ready for it. First though, we gotta get my first dab into the episode, and my temp reader, this one I have right here, is a little fucked up, so I gotta be kind of careful with it, especially on a dry dab. I almost have to do like the wrist check too, just to double check. But yeah, let's get a little quick dab and see what happens. Luckily, we're good. What a really nice temp. You definitely don't want to go in hot on a dry dab because you feel it quite a bit more. But when you get a good temp, oh my gosh, you get to taste all the terps. I mean, like every layer that you wouldn't normally hit in a water pipe, I feel like you can get crazy flavor on a dry. Get me wrong, 99% of the time I'm smoking a recycler, something with some water in it. But it is fun to rip a little dry piece and just experience a dry dab. But we're going to have some of these up here at the next cup of drop, but full color versions. This is the prototype clear version. But yeah, just got back from Philly, the East Coast. Man, what a fucking cool trip. So a couple months ago, I was talking to one of my favorite comedians on Instagram. I was telling them that I was coming out east to, they were having their own Patreon event, which is for the Dad Meat podcast with Mike Rainey and Tim Butterly. And I told them that I was going to be flying Cormac and myself out to go to their Patreon event because we're huge fans of those guys. We love their comedy and their podcasts and just some good boys, good time. And when I told them that, Tim was like, dude, would you want to be on my podcast? And I was like, bro, that'd be a fucking dream because I watch your podcast every week. Huge fan. But it was so cool, man. Just traveling across country. Also traveling with Cormac. Me and Cormac have worked next to each other for 6 years now. Cormac's been with me since 2018, October. And, you know, even though we're together all the time, it's not like we're like really hanging out outside work too much or anything like that. So like going on a trip with him was pretty cool. We got to like actually really hang out and like connect and stuff. It was like almost like a good team building exercise. Made me want to do like more trips with all my guys, you know what I mean? Like together or something, but that's a whole different thing. But yeah, so we went out to Philly. We were able to go to do the Dad Meat podcast meetup at Medieval Times, which was hilarious. We had a bunch of goofy fucking dudes sitting in the stands, like 80 dudes, like cheering for this fucking night, just eating Medieval Times food. It was like, I definitely thought in my head that when we were going to a Medieval Times in Baltimore that it was going to be dead there, but holy fuck, this place was packed out, and like, we were a party of 80, which was like nuts for them to check us in, but awesome time. Then the next day on Sunday, we drove from Baltimore to Philly. We drove over to Tim Butterly's place, and filmed the podcast at his house, which was really cool. I thought we were going to be going to their studio, which is Good Boy Studios, but unfortunately those guys just had something happen with their building where like a pipe burst and it like damaged their whole studio. So they were filming in everybody's living rooms that week that we were there. But either way, we got to like go to like one of my absolute favorite comedians and podcasters' actual house and like hang out with his family, like film an episode there. And then later that night, Tim actually had a show in New York City, which was the Depraved Show, which was Luis J. Gomez sets it up. Basically, each stand-up comedian needs to go up and tell their worst joke to kind of like shock the crowd, and then they need to win them over with good jokes by the end of their set. So it was just really cool, like driving, like I drove Tim and Cormac and Tim's wife up to New York City for the show, which was about a 2.5 hour drive or so. It's crazy just driving around the East Coast again, going to all these different cities. But going back to New York City, I haven't been there in 12 years since I moved away pretty much from the city. And it was so cool just to be like in these areas again, be like, oh man, it's just all still here in New York City. It's like, that place is like a fucking movie, dude. It really is. Like, I grew up watching lots of movies and television, so lots of TV shows and movies were based in New York City. And, you know, going back there, it always feels like, you know, oh, like a place I live, but it also feels like a place that's like not real. I don't know. It's just, it's a wild place. But yeah, being able to see like Luis J. Gomez, I got to see Dave Smith, Big J. Okerson, fucking Ian Finance, like all these awesome stand-up comedians and podcasters that I listen to weekly that I really enjoy the stuff they're doing, like giving me laughs all the time while I'm blowing glass. I got to like hang with these guys, smoke weed, talk, and I was like, I feel like I jumped into a fucking, like, the YouTube channel, and I was like, it was so surreal. And be able to share all that with Cormac was really cool, too, because he's a big fan of all these guys in comedy. Like, me and Cormac essentially started watching podcasts together at the same time. Like, back in 2018, we were basically listening to music, blowing glass together, and we're like, we need to, like, listen to something else. We've gone through all the songs already. And then we just started getting into podcasts. So it was really cool to be able to do all that and connect with these guys and show them my glass. And fucking Tim is the man. Tim Butterly is the man. You should be following him. You should be enjoying all his content and comedy. But he was like going up to these other comedians that I'm a huge fan of and like opening his phone, like, dude, look at this dude's work. He was like showing them my glass and getting them hyped up, and then they wanted to talk. And it was so cool of him to do that, because I was very like nervous. I was like kind of being a bit shy. Like I'm typically very talkative and open and excited, but like for some reason I was like, I don't know, I just felt kind of like overwhelmed or overstimulated or something when I was meeting all these people, because I was just like, whoa, what's happening? Like, I don't know, maybe I was driving too much or something. Who knows? Either way, it was very cool of him to like kind of open those doors and introduce me to people and just, you know, make me feel part of everything, and Cormac as well. And now I feel like we have a whole new connection and a totally different crowd of people. I'm excited to share my glass through that community of people as well. Just overall awesome experience. Crazy to do a trip like that as a business trip, but have it not really be for glass so much as it was for like creating some content, doing a podcast, and having some fun. But it was still a business trip, because What's Bear Buddy Podcast is a facet of Bear Mountain Studios, and it's all part of it. But yeah, now being back here, like trying to get back into the swing of things and get everything going again, it always takes me a little bit to like get back into the groove of like blowing glass. Like, I've been here putting in like obviously my 15-hour fucking days still. But today is the first day I feel like, after being back for a few days, because we all got fucking sick too, of course. We had some crazy shit trying to get home and trying to get there. There was that whole Microsoft crash thing, the whole security thing that happened where all those planes got like unable to take off. Our flight got canceled, pushed back, and then we ended up getting this horrible Frontier flight full of sick people, and of course we got sick. So now I've just recovered from that, and like I'm back to normal now where I can actually smoke, because I wasn't able to smoke for a few days. Like, if I'm sick, like, I don't want to smoke weed. Like, I have friends that are beasts, and they'll be like, dude, I fucking smoke no matter if I'm sick or what. I'm like, oh, if I can't like comfortably take a dab, or if it makes me like choke up more because like I'm congested or I have like whatever, like a chest cold or something, like I won't even do it, because it's just not, if I can't enjoy it, like I just don't want to like waste it. I'm more just like, I'll wait till I feel better to enjoy my cannabis. But yeah, it was a fucking awesome trip, and I'm stoked to be home. We're working on a Sunday sale right now, and a couple different clear drops that are going to be going to a few stores. So next Sunday sale, it's actually happening the day this episode comes out, which is Sunday, August 4th. It's a pretty good one. Not huge again. I feel bad. I haven't been doing really huge drops this year, and like, I should be making more glass, because obviously like we're trying to do way more things. So we're like investing way more money into the business and capital. But like, there's so many other little projects I've been working on that like aren't necessarily something that gets more glass done, but it makes the studio nicer, or it makes the work environment nicer for me and my guys, or it gives us maybe a seed we're planting for the future as far as like connections and content creating stuff. I don't know. So I guess I'm doing a lot of different things, but like now that August is about here, like I'm about to start like, it's like animal mode of glass blowing. Like I have so much big projects I want to get that I need to focus on glass the rest of the year. First part of this year, obviously I've been blowing a lot of glass, but I've been doing a bunch of other shit too. That's been pulling me left and right, from the expansion to, honestly, guys, like my daughter's 5, almost 6 years old. She's gonna be 6 here in a couple days. Like there's obviously a lot you have to do when you're taking care of a little kid, but like when they're at this age, like you need to be like around, like playing, doing things, teaching them stuff, answering questions. And the whole dad thing is taking up like a lot of time. Like, and that's totally fucking rules and it's awesome. But that's like the real shit. It's like, I'm also having to spend a lot more time, you know, just being with my kiddo, which is the fucking move and it rules. But if sometimes you don't see me as much posting on Instagram or stuff, it's not because I'm out there just sleeping or something. I'm either grinding, taking care of people, and just doing what I got to do. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to keep up with all that social media shit, for real. Like when I see some of my favorite people that I'm a fan of, like not posting as much, like obviously I'm like, oh, where's the content? Where's this? I wish this, but I'm assuming that they're handling something a little more important at that time. You know what I mean? But yeah, lots of changes right now. But yeah, it was really fucking cool to meet all those comedians out east. I tell you what, like that was like so fucking surreal. And like to see how hyped they were on glass. I think as us glass blowers, we're sometimes, like at least in my experience, a lot of the feedback I get is either from Instagram or if I go to a glass blowing event. You know what I mean? But like going to a totally different group of people that are just comedy fans, podcast fans, and hearing what they like about glass, I was like, whoa, there's people here that would collect and that like would love the art. It's just they just don't know about it. And like being able to share that with people and show it to them, like I definitely met a bunch of new people that are just like hyped on the artwork and hyped on the scene. Now, when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about just for Bear Mountain. Like I'm talking about like just all glass blowers in general. If you're like a pipe maker and this counterculture thing, like I'm trying to like connect more bridges and connect more spaces where there's other people who might want to support your artwork or might really like what you're doing. Cause not everyone's going to be like, oh, I'm about Bear Mountain. Some people might be like, oh, I really like this type of work or sculpture or line work or like, you know, whatever thing like someone's drawn to, like they can find that here in the glass scene. And I'm just trying to connect those bridges. And I think it's like a mutual game. Like what's good for all of us is, you know, good for individually too, for the most part, is at least getting more like collectors and people that, you know, want to see our artwork and stuff and support it. But yeah, really fucking fun. And God, that, like I said, the Patreon event we did for like a week before I went to Philly, that shit was fucking crazy. Like, I know I talked about it last episode, but it's been one thing after another. Like, that's pretty much what this year's been, prepping for the Patreon event, fucking like, the expansion. And now it's like, I need to blow glass. I need to make art. I need to show people my new ideas. I need to push the limits again. Yeah, I've made a 13-foot bong. Cool. That's pushing some limits, but I want to do some other shit. Like, obviously, I'm not belittling what I've done. I've done a lot this year already, but like in my head, like my goals are so much higher. And sometimes when you get in that headspace, it's hard to appreciate the wins you have along the way because you're so focused on some bigger picture that you're not taking time to sit down and relish in that. Like, fuck yeah, I did it, dude. I did this goal I had. Like, I'm proud of myself. On to the next one. I'm very much so like, things done. Okay, on to the next one. I don't spend time enjoying that. And that's one thing I need to try to slow down. I need to enjoy when I've had, you know, a goal and I met it or reached it or surpassed it, whatever. But when you're like fucking really trying to do things, like sometimes it is hard to slow down and like, you know, enjoy that shit. Definitely been going too hard because how I know I'm going too hard is like when like the people around me are also getting kind of tired. Like my wife is like, she's like, I need a break. And I was like, well, we got to keep running Bear Mountain, sweetie. Got to keep doing customer service and answering people. This, but she's whooped. She's like, we've been going nonstop. She's like, I feel like I can't catch my breath. Like we're giving 110%. She's like, but I'm getting worn down. And I'm like, oh fuck. Like I've been trying to keep everyone going at my crazy ass pace. And it's not like, that's how I know when I need to start slowing down. So what I'm going to do by slowing down is I'm going to stop saying yes to stuff. I'm going to focus on my art and the things that, like making glass right now, and let the people around me hopefully catch their breath for a little bit before I'm like, next goal, let's fucking go. Like, Oh my God. Like, you would think I'm not as driven as I'm trying to portray right now, but I am very much like we take on a lot for a little glass blowing business. Yeah. One thing too about having like this smaller, like little family owned business thing we're trying to pull off here in this counterculture and glass thing is like, there's a lot of people that like, because we try to do things so professionally here, not a lot. There's like a handful of voices I've been hearing lately or people like commenting or messaging that just like think that we're like something that we're not, maybe like a bigger, like corporate entity or something, like someone who's mass producing, but like we can't make enough glass. Like we're not, and like because we make everything here in shop. Like, so like one thing I want to do is, because I have a lot of new followers, is I need to take responsibility for the people who are maybe assuming things, because I've assumed too much. I've assumed that everyone knows the story. You know what I mean? I assume that everyone's been following forever, and that's not the truth. A lot of people maybe in the last couple of years or last year or so followed. So I haven't given enough information about Bear Mountain and where we're at and how we do things for them to have an accurate, you know, image of what we're doing. So I'm going to start putting more time into sharing our processes here, explaining our roots and how we got to where we are now in a short, cleaner format, not a full podcast, talking stuff on Instagram, and showing people how even just a year and a half ago, we were working out of our home. Everything was made in our garage. We were like cleaning sandblasted pieces in our sink, the same sink that I'm preparing my, like cleaning my daughter's dishes, or we're making food in. Like, it was a very much small home, family run operation, but because of circumstances, we had to move into a bigger space. And we did it. We didn't quit. We didn't shut down. We said, nope, we're going to just do the next thing, even though we're this kind of forced, we were forced into it. A lot of these newer followers, or maybe people that aren't even followers, but people that just have like an opinion they want to let me know about, they're filling in a lot of blanks that maybe I haven't given them answers for, as far as like how everything functions and like our roots and where we got started and like how special it is what we're doing and how we do things here. Because I've been so focused on the artwork and what I'm doing that I've kind of strayed away from social media in the last couple of years as far as how much I'm sharing. I used to be very personal on social media. I would share if I was having a bad day. I would share if something happened. I would share what was going on with my family. But I've kind of retracted. I've like pulled back a little bit on how much of that stuff I was sharing on social media, because I didn't know if it was hurting or helping. I felt even more vulnerable when 10,000 people knew I was having a bad day. There was like, and then, I don't know, it just made me feel uncomfortable. So I pulled back a little bit and I was like, just post your artwork, post your funny dad videos. If there's something emotional you're dealing with, you don't need to share it on social media. Everyone's dealing with enough bullshit in the world right now. They don't need to hear it from some sick glass blower that feels bad for himself. You know what I mean? So I was like, I need to pull back. I need to only put positivity on there if possible, because there's enough negativity. Well, what ended up happening was I strayed away from sharing enough of what real shit I was dealing with. Or like, I'm a person too. I'm building this business. Everything I'm putting into it, truly, what I've put into this, like, you don't get to what we've got right now without putting everything and then some. There's everything's into this business. And that's a scary thing too, because I have people that rely on me, not just the people who work here at Bear Mountain or the families that those paychecks here support, but like my wife, my parents, all these people look to me as like, this is how we pay for everyone. This is how we pay for those bills. This is like when the Social Security check doesn't show up, this is how we make sure there's fucking food there. Like, there's, and if I'm not sharing the whole story, people forget that this is a small family business. And then that may affect their perception of how and what we are and how we function. So I need to take responsibility instead of getting mad at maybe someone that's trolling or trying to be shitty to me and be like, you know, I need to share more in the right format so people can appreciate and see how awesome it is what me and my guys and my wife are all doing here together in this space. We're all trying to be glassblowers. How do we become glassblowers and support a family and have people that are proud of us go, my husband or my wife is a glassblower and they support our family through that art form. How do we do that? We're trying to solve that and navigate this ocean as a team. I tried it for many years as a solo person, and it's truly the starving artist life, because on days you're sick, you don't get the artwork done. When my team here, on days I'm sick, someone helps and picks up the slack. On days they're sick, I'll pick up that slack. We're here to help each other get this boat across that fucking ocean. And I think a lot of people are missing that really special. And I say a lot, and that's not true. 99% of the people that follow and watch all this stuff get it. But there's a small group of people I'm starting to notice now, and maybe it's just because of the scale of things, that have this weird narrative in their head that we're something that we're not. That we're like some big production thing. We're not. Everything is so fucking handmade and down to like everything. Even the things have gotten more handmade than they were even a couple years ago. Like we've everything down to all of our perks are completely like handmade from like color and stuff now. It's really incredible like what we've done, and we haven't had to raise prices on anything. We've literally added so much quality and so much to the product without changing that bottom line that people have to pay. And yes, like inside Fish Tank talk here, we maybe make less on the glass now, but I'm so stoked on the finished product and the price point it's at that I'm like, let's just crush harder then. Like if we're making a little less, let's just crush harder and then we'll be fine. Like I'm down to crush. Like I wish these people would see that I get here at fucking 4:30 in the morning every day, and I'll work to 6:30, 7:30 at night. I'll put those 14-15 hour days in and still go home and be a fucking awesome dad and husband. I won't complain or feel bad for myself, walk through the door, oh, I'm tired from a hard day's work, leave me alone, or I just need to watch my TV. No, I walk through the door, I'm like, all right, honey, where are we playing? What do you want to play? You know, tag? Do you want to play in the bouncy house? Like, you want to play like fucking board games? Like, we're trying to play or have fun time with my wife at night. And then I go to fucking sleep, wake up and crush even harder again. And I'm not looking for like a medal for that or anything, but I wish people could see like how like hard we go, how special this is, how much we put into it, and how this is it. This is the only thing we do. We do Bear Mountain because we're about it. If they understood what it takes to have the equipment, to have this space that we have, what all this costs, they'd be like, holy fuck, you're about it. But I don't want to sit there and like post things on the internet, rubbing numbers in people's faces and trying to, because then it becomes off as arrogant or cocky. And like, that's not what I'm trying to push out either. I'm trying to show people like, if you have any questions about us, just know that we're fucking about it. Like, this is it. We are all fucking in. Instead of buying that, you know, instead of fucking putting a new deck on the house because the deck fell off of it, instead of fixing this thing at the home, we're going to fucking put the money here into the shop. We're going to put it into the product. We're going to find a way. How do we make it nicer? How do we make it better? Like, what's the best we can do? How much better can it get? All the way down to now we're bringing in equipment to pull down raw, like melt down raw cullet and color and make our own colors and be a color company, because I want something even better, something even more refined. In the future, you might see us doing quartz because I'm like, how do I get something even better and more consistent for my customers, for people who want to collect my work? Like, all we're trying to do is bring the fucking best. That is it. Like, and then when I have people that are being shitty, it's like, also, that's part of it. That's the internet. You know, it's like, get off the internet, bro, if your feelings are getting hurt. Like, come on. Like, it's part of it. But I also try to recognize those things and go, how can I go harder? Or maybe I'm not voicing this in the correct way so these people understand. Because, you know, it's hard. It's fucking hard to balance your passion and grind and also share that with everyone. Because making content, if you guys have ever done it, it sucks. It's like fun, but it sucks. It's like you'll spend so much time making it for like a small little clip, and it's like, damn, I could have spent that 2 hours like blowing glass and making a piece of art and sharing that, but instead I edited a video that got like 50 likes. Cool. Like it's like, it's different, you know. That's preaching to the choir. Let's take a dab on this fucking 5mm. Might start doing a couple small 5mm drops again. Because we might have some more nails. These are just the hardest nails to get, because that 5mm joint, these are all handmade. Like the quartz makers can't buy these. They have to like make them. And making quartz joints is a whole different thing than making boro joints. Like it's not as easy. So it's a lot hard to offer a product that you could manufacture consistent enough to sell it as like a product you could produce a lot of. You know what I mean? As far as like, you got to think quartz nails. These American-made companies, these are all still super handmade operations. They're not making that many. Like, they can only make so many nails, but, like, it's still, like, a product that's almost like tires on a car. Like, you almost have to be able to put out a lot of them in order to keep your customers satisfied, because tires wear out quick. Sometimes you pop one. You know, sometimes you break a nail. Sometimes, whatever, your tires are worn out. Your nail's worn out. You got to replace it. Where I look at the rigs is more like the car. You know what I mean? It's the asset. It's the thing that's gonna, you can maintain its value. But then the components are like your tires on it, which are your quartz now. So I'm going to warm this up, take a little dab on it. This is definitely one of the smaller 5 mils. It's not the smallest, but it's pretty darn small. I mean, even this 5 mil nail, this is a miniature nail, pretty big miniature nail, honestly. That's why I like this 5 mil nail, because you can fucking put a real dab on there. But it's like bigger than the piece. These are awesome too, because they're stable enough to hold this big heavy nail and its cap on it. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty killer to not have like a micro rig tipping forward from the weight of it. Yeah, so I'm going to take a dab on that, and then we're going to talk about some other stuff. I got some other things I want to talk about that are kind of around, you know, just internet stuff. But I kind of like, this is my platform where I can talk to the people who support and care. And we're deep enough into the episode now that the people that are this far are just the ones that love me. So, you know, we're good. We're good, guys. But yeah, I had a silly recent thing happen where I had someone on the internet upset with me because something I made looked similar to something another artist made. However, the artist they were comparing me to was someone that has been heavily inspired by me and reusing my RBR design for about 6 years, or 5 years, since 2019. He's been using my RBR design as his flagship recycler. Which, power to him, go for it. But I'm not, I don't have beef with anyone. I'm just trying to smoke hash and have fun with my friends, literally. But this kid was very upset with me for making something that looks similar to his. And I didn't even respond to it. I just deleted his comment. But I was driving on the road, so his comment was up for maybe an hour. And a lot of Bear Mountain people were arguing with him and back and forth on it. It was a whole thing. And he was just being really nasty and rude. He was obviously like super mad. But I don't know about what, because you're not going to find anything on my page where I'm being disrespectful or trying to hurt someone else's business or calling someone saying they're ripping me off or whatever. You're not going to find me doing that at all. So I didn't really understand what he was mad at. He was just super mad, and I was his target. And I was like, all right, well, at least it's not like a school or something. At least it's just like some guy on the internet. He's mad at me. I'm glad he's not mad at someone where he's going to react and do something crazy. So I was just like, I'll let this kid be mad at me. But I wasn't going to respond to him because I knew, by the way he was commenting and these things he was saying, that he wasn't coming to my page to get more information and assess if what he thought was reality. He was coming to my page to justify what he'd already decided was his reality. And that was that he doesn't like me, and I ripped off the guy who, in my head, when I'm like, dude, you're mad at me because something I made looks like something that the guy, another guy made that remakes my work. It'd be like the Beatles being like, at one of their shows, and some guy in the crowd is screaming at them to like, give the cover band credit. They sang your song and you didn't give them credit for singing your song. Give the cover band credit. And it's like, not saying I'm like the Beatles or anything, but it's like, the satirical nature of his comment, I was like, this is pure comedy and irony. This is beautiful. This is like someone truly with all their like energy is going on the internet viciously angry at a complete stranger because that stranger made something that looks similar to his superhero that he loves to support, even though his superhero is heavily inspired by my work, which is fucking awesome. I'm happy to, you know, inspire others, whatever. I don't think I do. I'm not being like, oh, I'm on a high horse, I inspire people. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to be respectful, because we're all human, and I definitely have moments where I'm like, fuck these dudes. These guys are assholes. They just talk shit about me, use my work, and make money off my name, and then talk shit on me some more. And then, but then there's days where I've had enough dabs, and it's right now, and I've worked out, so all that energy's burned out of me, and I'm like, dude, whatever, man. Get inspired. Let's all just try to have a good day. You can still come to my birthday party. Just don't be rude. Like, we're all here. And another thing, too, our industry right now is in such a weird place. I see colleagues and people left and right quitting, selling their equipment. And I'm like, really, boys, you want to start some drama with me right now over some really weird, abstract perspective that would be difficult for even the most capable minds to wrap their head around? But I don't want to go there. How about we all just go, how about we do this? How about we say, you know what? We'll just say you did it first. I don't even care. I will literally, like I do with my daughter in Candyland, you win, honey. You win. Now let's go get some candy and have a fucking good night together, because I don't want to listen to you bitch anymore. That's literally what I'm dealing with these fucking assholes. like, they wonder why I don't engage with them on comments and in these posts when they try to bait me. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to do this, because later tonight when I'm sitting down with my wife, smoking some weed, watching a show, knowing my daughter's safe, sleeping in bed, I'm not going to care about you. I promise I'm not going to be thinking about you. So I don't want to invest any time right now into you and react in a way that I'm later going to go, fuck, Evan, why'd you react like that? Can't we all just get along, you know? Can't we all just, I'll play on one side of the basketball court, you play on the other. That's it. Like, we don't have to play together. I'm happy to, but man, these fucking knuckleheads, dude. Obviously, they got to me a little bit. You know, it happens. It's like a once a year thing for me. I just recorded at least one or two episodes that I was like, we can't post that episode. Because it's just me going off about these knuckleheads. I can't help it. It's my once a year. Whew. But I'm fine talking about this because it's nothing crazy. It's just like, more at the end of the day, it's like me caring that like there's a narrative that's not reality and that some dudes convinced a group of people that of something. I don't know. That's where I'm so confused and lost that's what frustrates me too. It's like when I used to like play fucking like Zelda and I was not good at reading and I couldn't figure out how to beat a certain temple and I'd be like, God damn it, dude. I just don't understand. That's how these fucking people are making me feel. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, show me the receipts. I need help. Like, I fucking have dyslexia and other issues, like fucking petty mall, like seizure. I'll put a crutch. I'll get on a crutch. I'll be like, I'm handicapped, dude. I don't understand. Oh, man. Who knows? Take a dab of some hash hounds here. I think I'm going to take another dab of this hive, this papaya with honey banana. That's what I took on the first one, too. I usually like the really gassy stuff, but since I've been sick, like, this has been a little bit less intense, so it's easier for me to smoke. Not that it's not super fire, but it's, like, the gassy stuff is just way more, like, intense, like, which I'm going to take one of those off of the mini double before the end of the episode, but, yeah. This is a little bit more mellow and chill and nice fruity flavor, so it's good after being fucking sick for a few days. What we got here? Yeah, but don't mind me, guys. I'm just talking, just going off a little bit on silly stuff and not being very specific like always, because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to affect anyone's business or fuck up their day, even if they are trying to fuck up mine. I'm just like, dude, whatever. Just let me go have fun with my friends, bro. I'm not trying to fucking do this silliness. I'm going to get right down to the table. We're going to get low on this. Whoa. Oh no. This fucking temperature is a little off. I melted it. That was a little warm. Wow. Whew. Yeah, I wanted to post a thing today of me kind of like bitching a little bit. I can't tell you guys how many times I've filmed myself going like mad at someone and then never post it. And back in the day, I would post stuff like that. Be a little baby. You want to know what stops me from posting this shit now? As dumb as this sounds. It's not just that later I know I'm going to regret it and be like, oh, you fucking baby. Why'd you post that, you baby? It's that I have people now that I'm a big fan of, that I look up to, that follow me on social media, and I do not want them seeing that side of me being a baby, because I know they'll unfollow me out of principle. And I'm like, no. The people I'm a fan of, I don't want to look like a fucking idiot, as dumb as that sounds. But isn't that the most natural way for humans to not do dumb things? Is thousands of years, for fucking tens of thousands of years, we didn't want the tribe to think we were stupid or be embarrassed so that they would shut us out. It's a primal survival instinct. So I'm like, I don't want to post some dumb shit I'm going to regret later just in case the people I really appreciate in the tribe shun me or block me out for being a baby or being, you know, more focused on how I feel and not looking more at the big picture of where we're all at. As far as trolling goes, never try to argue with a troll or convince them that they're wrong or that you're right. If someone's coming to your page to do anything like that, they have already made their decision about you and how they feel about you. Again, they are not coming there to get more information, to go, huh, actually, I changed my mind. I like this person. Not saying that there's not outliers where that happens, but 99.9% of the time, they're coming there to justify how they already feel about you. That's it. So don't even waste your time. It's a game you're not going to win. It's literally rigged out the gate. Now, if you enjoy conflict, if you like to have something to do while you're waiting at the DMV, tell them what's up, and they'll go back and forth with you all fucking day, and you can definitely kill some time. But to actually make progress and to be mentally healthy and happy, and even from the aggressor side, to make sure the troll's happy and healthy, don't even bother. Because, you know, you're basically the target of some aggression that has nothing to do with you. It's what it is. And that's what I have to tell myself frequently so I don't freak out. A lot of people, even the other day, talking to a glass blower I really look up to, he's like, man, you get into work early, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I get in there at like 4:30 in the morning for a reason. And I explained it to him. I was like, dude, I have to get in. I've literally found out like how to hack myself so that I'm not angry all the time. I have to come in early enough before the world wakes up, before my people are here, while my wife and daughter are sleeping. I need to go into the studio. I need to completely handicap myself with THC. Completely. Then I need to find like a good song or a show and start my vibe off right. I need to sap my energy out the gate. People are like, I don't know how you dab that early. I'm like, if I don't smoke hash that early, I am too much. I need to sap whatever that is in my head that's in makes me like feel so angry or competitive or whatever, especially with people who really aren't important and I shouldn't feel like that towards just because whatever. And I need to sap that energy. I need to go, okay, I need to stun myself. I got to hit myself with that THC stun gun out the gate. I need to be stumbling. Like what I've said before in previous episodes, living life on hard mode, it's not just because I want to build discipline. I am trying to suppress like intense, like it's hardworking, like drive and stuff. But it's like, it's also something that like, if I start my day off on a bad note, I feel like I'm just like a little dark cloud walking around the rest of the day. And it's not fair to the people that I love and care about. Not that like, even if you ask them, they'd never be like, oh, Evan's walking around making everyone's day suck. But in my personal self, inside me, it's how I feel. I don't feel good. And I really think how you feel is important individually, even, not even talking about in a selfish way. I'm talking about if you have children, if you're married, if you're in a relationship, if your parents are still around. If you don't feel happy or if you're not feeling good, even if no one can put their finger on it, they can pick up on it. That energy is picked up on. So you need to find ways of literally hacking yourself so you can be as happy as you can, as much as possible, especially for the people around you. Like, yeah, suppressed anger for years and stuff. And just fucking, now I'm like, you know what I'm doing? I'm fucking going to sap my energy in the morning, work out, and pursue my art, and try to post positive shit on the internet, and just have good days. Just try to have more good days than bad days. Let's fucking get a tally going. Let's make sure we have more good days than bad days. That's it. And maybe you shouldn't measure things, because measurement is close to comparison, and comparison is the thief of joy. And like, but sometimes those measurements are what gets me through like days where I'm like, this shit sucks right now. And I have to remember the measurements and go, oh wait, but there was all these good days and there these good things happened. And remember, it's don't, you know, and then I get tough and I go, don't feel bad for yourself. Like crush, just try your best. And that's all you can do. Like you're here to help. Like if you're here for anything, you're just here to help. Like help people. That's it. Like, I don't know, dude, might be schizophrenia again. I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, to be continued. But yeah, lots of good things happening though. 11:11 on the microwave. Don't care if it's not right. That's something, right? Man, definitely got too high this episode. Boy, oh boy. Trolls will never make it this far. They hate me so much, they wouldn't be able to. It's like three dudes. It's like three dudes that collect reclaim. Yeah, and they're just really not stoked on me. And I'm like, fuck, dude, I wish you were... I wish, honestly, for I wish for these boys, I hope that they fall in love. I hope they find ultimate success so they forget about me. I hope that someday they go, oh, yeah, the Bam Mountain guy. I forgot about him because I fell in love and had personal success that I was proud of. And now I forgot about him. Like, I want them to fucking forget about me. And they're not from New York. Because this wouldn't be happening if they're from New York at all. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. Well, how long have we been doing this, Aijah? What the fuck? That's it? We're good. Fuck yeah, dude. I went on a crazy tangent. I'm sorry. It's been... Okay, so definitely got very sick. So I'm going to blame it on that. And I've lost over 30 pounds. So I'm also going to blame it on that. I got crutches. And I got excuses for days. You remember those? I used to say it all the time. Excuses for days. Yeah. It's better just be aware of how you function and know that you're going to be like, oh, it's this thing. It's this thing. But really, it's probably just too many dabs. Might be just too many dabs. I mean, I have no idea, dude. Oh, my God. Let me tell you what, though. I've never been so high and so low at the same time, both emotionally and, you know, induced from THC, than I have been in the past month. From, like, meeting some of people I'm huge fans of and them being stoked on my work to, like, feeling like I suck really bad. And I don't know what that is. That thing where you like have no, I don't have control over where I'm like, I feel like, I'm like, I just want to be better at everything. Not that I'm doing a bad job or anything, but I think I'm have too high expectations of myself that are unachievable that inherently are causing me to feel like I'm not doing good enough and I need to do better. But there's not enough hours in the day. I'm pushing it to the fucking limit. And until they invent the eighth day of the week, I think I'm fully maxed out. And like I said, I probably could work more. Like, I try to take Sundays off now so that it's like a full family day. When a couple years ago, 7 days a week, there was no breaks. And like, yeah, when I'm like behind on work, I'm like, oh, is it because I take Sundays off? But it's like, even if there was a measurement to tell me, yes, it's because you had a good day with your daughter on Sunday. That's why you're behind on work. Even if I had that physical measurement, it's still like, well, obviously then it doesn't matter because I'm obviously going to pick the time with my kid. I'm in a very weird crossroad right now, guys. It's pretty wild. Like, I want to crush more hours. I want to defend the title against these goofballs that are being like, you know, funny towards me. But I feel like if I go as hard as I need to fucking win, it might mean that like I'm not spending as much time with the people I love. And the only reason I work this hard is because I want the people I love to have good lives. It's a real conundrum. Well, see, I knew this would happen many years ago. This is why I have a team of people that work very hard to help me now in anything they can. And that's something I really want to start like sharing with you guys. You guys have heard me talk about Cormac before. He's been, like I said, been with me since 2018. Cormac, for the first fucking 5 years of working with me, prepped color. So much color. The boy was a little color factory. And then like last year, we started like dabbling in some wholesale and stuff and like started doing like some different style pieces. And I was like, dude, you want to start like shaping? I want to start shaping parts for like RTH drains or making perks for RTHs, cutting them. Then he started learning how to use the wet saw. And now at this point, like he helps me so much with the RTH project and wholesale stuff. And then we have Chad Wook, or we call him Patrick. I don't like calling him his Instagram name. I feel like it's disrespectful. He's a respectful boy. But his Instagram name is Goofy. So, but yeah, he came in like over a year ago now in a crazy time for Bear Mountain where we had just moved into this new space because the whole city and county code enforcement thing where like you can't work out of your house anymore, you gotta go get a space, yada yada yada. Too many episodes about the bullshit, but you know, if you've been on this ride for this long. And then he came in at a crazy time where like we were even being like in this space getting letters from them saying like threatening our new space. And like he was like, for his first like 5-6 months here, he's like just prepping color. And then I look around me and I'm like, I have 4 guys prepping color. I'm paying like so many people to prep color. I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm like, we gotta be working on other stuff besides color. And that's when like Pat and Cormac teamed up with me and started working on like the RTH program, the wholesale stuff we just recently started doing. But that's because honestly, like with the state of fucking social media nowadays, I'm like, we need to be grassroots again. We need to be having things happening in local places to build our collector groups and have things for our current collectors to do and see that may be local to them. Like just having everything on a one Sunday drop every month just seems like not enough people. It's just not as accessible how the internet works nowadays, but whatever. But like having those two helping me with like doing the wholesale, doing the RTH project, the bubblers, like means that I can spend more time focusing on the RBR projects. Because I have so many different designs that I want to do, and it's just not possible to do it all by myself. And that's like why we're building this, so that we can, as a team, like bring people the best of the best. And then Mike, now he's the color factory. Mike does all the color by himself. We used to have our boy Keymaster Glass here at the beginning of this year. Gosh, I hope he's doing good. But he moved back to Texas, so Mike took over all color prep, and Mike's been having to prep all of it. That's also too why you're seeing a little bit less full color pieces, just because we have less color, like inherently, you know what I mean? We only have one guy prepping color now. So a lot of changes and different things happening, but all good stuff. And I'm grateful I have the guys here helping and my wife, and because there's days I definitely feel run down. I push myself to the max, and I think that's like what my team sees around me. It's like they see that I'm in here early as fuck and I'm in here late with them, and that like I'm doing weekend shit. They see me crushing, and they know, they're like, basically they believe in whatever we're doing, because they're like, well, he's not gonna quit. As long as I don't die, I'm not gonna quit. It's just gonna go harder and try to build something. I'm gonna build this boat for us with you guys, with everybody, so we can fucking try to be what we want to be. And that's fucking glassblowers, dude. I want to make fucking pipes. Shit's cool as hell. Never gonna grow up, dude. I feel like fucking a lost boy being a glassblower. Literally, I talk to adults all the time. I go to birthday parties, not as much as my wife, I have to say that. She goes to the birthday parties more. But I go to some of them. And whenever I'm at them, I'm always talking to the other parents and stuff. And they're all grown-ups, dude. They're like working for Space Force, or they work for like the military industrial complex, or they have like a private contracting firm for the military. Remember, I'm in Colorado Springs. It's basically all military. So these are like real adults. Some of them got clearance, security clearance, and and then there's me, you know. And they don't even care what I do, but they're the nicest people. But when I talk to them, I'm like, you're all grown-ups. Like, you guys are grown-ups. Like, I do grown-up activities, and I have responsibilities, but man, in my head, I feel like a little kid. When I'm cooking dinner, I'm playing with a tech deck. I'm shredding when I'm fucking, when I'm just, I'm fidgety, dude. I have lots of ideas. I like building stuff. Like, it's grown-up as them, I guess. Pretty wild. This is a wild episode. This one might even have to be, I don't even know what we're going to do with this. It's definitely going to be put somewhere, though. Wow. Man. All right, 10mm mini double. Let's get her all set up. I got to throw a pillar in there. These power slurpees from Evan Shore, holy shit. They're thicker and a little bit more narrow. So because it's more narrow and because it's thicker. Now, thicker quartz will have a sharper turbine cut, because a thicker wall quartz gives you longer surface area to cut, so you get a better, more defined angle, so you get a more powerful turbine. So the thicker quartz also holds more heat, but because it's a stronger directed turbine with a more narrow internal space, the pillar fucking rips. All right, like, rips. So we're going to do that. And we're going to fucking put a bow on this and say, we did it. Where is that at? Is the pillar still in there? Oh, I got another pillar. We're going to use a... Will this one fit? This should fit. You guys will be able to see this one better anyways. It's got color to it. But yeah. Lots of things happen in this month. August, fucking kiddo turned 6. We're going to have 2 drops this month because we didn't do one in July because we had the Patreon event and then I went out of town for that other podcast stuff. So we didn't do much in July. So August is going to be kind of crazy. I'm like, August is definitely not the month to be doing like crazy drops, but whatever, we're going for it. But we have a lot going on this month and I'm excited to share it all. Lots of new glass, new collabs, some more fuckery, some more hopefully silly content with a 13-footer. We were brainstorming the other day as a team while we worked what would be a cool locations we could bring the 13-foot straight tube to film like a shot, whether like not necessarily saying smoke in public, but like maybe like set it up and go like pull on it with water in it, and then maybe we can edit fake smoke through, because I don't want to be like disrespecting people or whatever in public. But like my guy Patrick was like, dude, what if we go to like places early, like parks before, like, and they open at 6 a.m like go before anyone's up because we're already here at the shop early as fuck. I'm like, true. And then we thought about, you know, I don't want to give it away because what if, you know, it gets us like, so we can't do it. But we have some cool spots. We're going to try and bring the 13-footer. We're going to outfit my Ford Escape and take out, like, the back window and have, like, a bungee system inside of it to, like, hang the tube in so it can handle bumps while we drive to the location. I said that everyone needs to have hard hats on and reflective vests because the bong is big enough that it will probably just look structural. Like, it will look like maybe some sort of water tube to, like, fix something. And they won't ask questions if we're carrying it somewhere. And then, yeah, then I just got to get it set up and hit it. So, for science, I'll put a science vest, or my fucking, I'll put actually my white lab coat on when I'm actually going to hit it. So if anyone asks, they'll be like, oh, this is something for science. And they won't really ask a question after that. Because I have the glasses and then the lab coat. All right. Well, obviously I was running out of butane, but I'm sure there's enough heat on that quartz to give us a dab. Or give me a dab. I just assume you guys are here dabbing too. That's how I like to feel, at least when I'm having these conversations. Oh my god. Yeah. I definitely chatted it up this episode. I didn't even let you guys say nothing. My bad. Went in. All different things. Don't even know. Hopefully I didn't complain too much. Again, the podcast, if you want to see me complain a little bit, that's where it is. Because I can't hold it back for a full hour. I'm going to say something where I feel bad for myself probably. But I don't. Let's see here. Maybe I'll go with the Jomo now. Something aggressive. I don't feel ready though. No, sir. Little one. Just a tad. Because I'm fully sapped for energy right now. I've already worked out. I've already dabbed a bunch this morning. Already got here early as shit. Already blown glass. Fully sapped right now. Try to get me upset, dude. Try to hurt my feelings right now. I don't even know what feelings are. I'm just trying to make art and hang out with my friends. That's it. Is that feelings? Because if that is, I'll do that. Let's go. Man. No, you ain't ready. You lie. You're a little liar. I melted the fucking end of this thing, or someone did. I just take responsibility. If I see something damaged, it's the weirdest trait I have, probably. If I see something damaged, I go, my bad, my fault. I'll just take it because I don't even give a fuck. I'm like, I'd rather just accept that I did it so I can move on with my day and not be mad at anyone. I can't even be mad at my fellow human. I must fully dissociate and say, I did it. Let's go. On with our day. Because it's too much, dude. Yeah, I'm just don't do things like me. You can watch it, though, if you want. Don't do it. All right, 10 mil mini double. It's piece shreds. I think I need more water. I think someone stole some water. Oh, I did steal water for my fucking nano. What can you do? She still spitting water. I like a little more water, those, because I like to feel this little rumble here at the top of the can or top of the drain. whoa. Calm down. You're not dying. It's just weed. Woo. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. You know, that's the strong stuff. I'll tell you what. Even at that low time. Pleasant, but still potent. Man, I remember when I was younger, first started smoking weed. Not even that young, 18. I was pretty much an adult when I first started smoking weed. Man, it wasn't good. Good thing it wasn't this good. It must have been good enough, though, because I stuck with it, you know? I made it through those, if it ain't red, it ain't ready stages. Those 2008 to 2012 time where you hit it while that nail was red hot. Didn't look right, didn't taste right. Made you feel unwell. But you said, you know what? Through all those hydrocarbons, lipids, and other garbage in that hat in there, I can kind of taste some weed. And I do love weed. So that's just fine with me. And then nowadays, we have the most pure, beautiful, tasty extracts. We put in the footwork, boys. And we got the terps. We did it. All right, episode 152. We got a Sunday sale, August 4th, 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. That's the day this came out. BMSGlass.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. Don't forget to check out our Patreon as well. They have early access on Saturdays to these drops. They also have monthly giveaways. Sometimes I'm slow to call the giveaways because I got high. Literally, it's what happened. I did too much weed and then I forgot. What can you do? This is a small operation. Maybe someday I'll hire someone to manage me and be like, oh, this has to be done. This has to be done. But for now, we're living life on the edge and running it like a real fucking garage operation. So hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you much for the support. Thanks everybody that I met out east, and the podcast shit was awesome. And you guys should check out the Tim Butterly show. Check out the episode that Cormac and I did together with Tim. It was really fun and we had a great conversation. And yeah, thanks everybody. Whoa. Whoa. Too high. Holy shit, too high.